at a ceremony in Brussels. Reuters correspondent Edward Barron reports.
Finland formally joined the NATO military alliance on Tuesday. The country's foreign minister completed the accession process at NATO headquarters in Brussels. The historic policy shift brought on by Russia's invasion of Ukraine quickly drew a threat from Moscow of, quote, countermeasures. Here's the Finnish defense minister, Antti Kaikkonen.
It is a big day for Finland, of course. And I'd say it's a win-win situation. It's good for NATO also. But our next goal is, of course, to get our good neighbor Sweden to the full membership.
Finland's accession roughly doubles the length of the border that NATO shares with Russia and bolsters its eastern flank as the war in Ukraine grinds on with no resolution in sight.
That's Reuters correspondent Edward Barron reporting. A court in Moscow has ruled that a woman suspected of involvement in a bombing at a St. Petersburg cafe that killed a Russian military blogger should remain in custody for 2 months pending a probe. The 40-year-old Vladlen Tatarsky, a ardent supporter of the war who filed reports on the fighting from the front lines in Ukraine, was killed Sunday as he led a discussion at the Riverside Cafe in the historic heart of St. Petersburg, Russia's second-largest city. Russian authorities described the bombing as an act of terrorism and blamed Ukrainian intelligence agencies for orchestrating the attack. Darya Tsarpova, a 26-year-old St. Petersburg resident, was ordered by court Tuesday to remain in custody until June 2nd, pending the investigation. The United States Tuesday unveiled details of a $2.6 billion in new military aid for Ukraine's war against invading Russian forces, including ammunition for HMARS precision rocket systems, artillery rounds, and small arms. This is VOA News. Anticipation is building outside a New York City courthouse where, within the hour, former U.S. President Donald Trump is expected to turn himself in to face a criminal indictment in a New York state court involving allegations of more than 30 counts of wrongdoing, the first ever charges filed against a current or former U.S. leader. Associated Press correspondent Sagar Magani reports Donald Trump and his backers say the indictment is a politically motivated move to weaken his White House bid.
Trump has seized on the narrative, saying he's raised more than $8 million in less than a week. His campaign released another fundraising note this morning titled, "My Last Email Before Arrest." Trump's also said he's heading to a kangaroo court led by a judge who, quote, hates me. Even Trump's lawyer says that's not true.
That's AP correspondent Sagar Magani reporting. A top aide to the governor of the Mid-Atlantic U.S. state of Maryland is dead after an FBI manhunt. Associated Press correspondent Jennifer King reports.
Roy McGrath was at one time the chief of staff for former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. He became the subject of a three-week manhunt when the Florida resident failed to show up for trial in Baltimore on corruption charges on March 13th. Attorneys for his family confirmed that McGrath died Monday after a confrontation with FBI agents in a commercial area on the outskirts of Knoxville, Tennessee. An FBI email said McGrath was wounded during an agent-involved shooting and taken to a hospital. He resigned in 2020, just 11 weeks into his job for Hogan, and pled not guilty to an indictment in 2021. He was accused of lying about the governor's approval for a severance payment of over $230,000 as the head of Maryland's Environmental Service, in addition to allegedly embezzling roughly $170,000 in expenses. Hogan said he and his wife were deeply saddened by this tragic situation. I'm Jennifer King.
Voters in the upper Midwest U.S. state of Wisconsin are voting Tuesday to decide the outcome of the most expensive judicial race in U.S. history, a heated contest that will determine the fate of abortion access, the future of Republican-drawn legislative maps, voting rights, and years of other Republican policies. University of Wisconsin political science and law professor Howard Schweber told the Associated Press why the state Supreme Court race, which pits Democratic candidate Janet Protasevich against Republican-backed Dan Kelly, is seen to be so important as an election battleground state.
Right now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has a 4-3 conservative majority, and the ideological differences between the majority and the minority are very stark. If Janet Protasevich wins in this election, that balance will shift to a 4-3 liberal majority. And so the new majority will take the court in a dramatically different direction from the one it's been going now. If Dan Kelly wins, the court will remain in its current state ideologically.
From Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.
And more.
Music and more.
Music and more.
Music and more.
VOA.
One. Yeah.